Good morning. Would you stand with us this morning? It's Sunday morning. Hallelujah. We get to come and worship and praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Go ahead, Don. Amen. Singing with us this morning. Glory to His name. Savior died, and where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Was the blood applied. Hallelujah. Boy, that's enough to make you shout hallelujah this morning. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. We're glad you're here today. Welcome. If you're a guest this morning, fill out a card there in the seat back in front of you, and we'll receive that in a little bit in the offering. But let's go to prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We pray, God, that you would bless this service this morning. I pray that you would bless Pastor Phil as he speaks today. I pray that you would bless in our time of worship. And Lord, it's such a joy to come to your house and worship you. Such a joy to come and pray together and fellowship together. Such a joy, Father God, to come and to hear your word preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, speak to us today. Move in this service. You know where everybody's at spiritually. You know what we're facing, what's happening in our lives, and what's happening in our community and country. And so, Father God, we call upon you, Lord, today as the church, as your bride, the body of Christ, Lord, to let your will be done. Father God, move by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Once again, it's good to see you today. And so good to have the kids in church with us today. Amen. Let all the kids that are normally in children's church, would you stand if you're normally in kids' church? You're our guests this morning. Give them a hand. Amen. All right. Praise God. Four times a year, whenever it's the fifth Sunday, we let the kids come in here and sit with their parents. It gives the children's workers a break. And so it's always good to have the kids in service every now and then. So we're glad that they are with us today. Tomorrow is Sister Boykin's 94th birthday. She is the former First Lady of our church. Her and her husband started this church 35 years ago. And so she's watching today. I told Phyllis we were going to do this. So I know she's tuning in from her house this morning. Can we sing happy birthday to Sister Boykin? I think that would be wonderful, and she would be blessed. So Sister Boykin, this is for you today. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Sister Boykin. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Sister Boykin. We love you. Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, tonight, there's no service here. It's called Family Activity Night. We call it FAN. That also happens four times a year. We want you to do something special with your family or with another family. Make a memory. Do something your kids are going to remember 20 years from now. You remember that time we went here, we did that? Let that be one of those nights tonight. And so that will be this evening. So we are so excited that you are here in this service this morning. Pastor Phil's going to be coming and preaching in just a little bit. We also do that on the fifth Sunday, and so we're looking forward to his message this morning. We're going to go ahead and receive our offering if our ushers would come, and also if you're a guest, you can put that guest card in the offering as it passes. And so thank the Lord for your faithfulness in giving and worship, and we are blessed because of your obedience. So, Lord God, bless this offering this morning. Use it to further your kingdom and your work here at Noble Assembly of God and in the missionaries that we support around the world. We pray, God, that you would just pour out your spirit upon each and every one of us as we obey you in our giving today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to go back into our time of worship right now. And so, aren't you thankful that we have a good, good Father? Our Heavenly Father is so good, so awesome, so wonderful. So stand with us as we worship the Lord today and sing about His goodness. I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're. unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Lift your hands and give the Lord thanks and praise for his goodness, for his mercy. He's perfect in all his ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, sometimes there's things happen we don't understand. But we know, Father God, you are perfect. You are perfect in all your ways. Your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are greater than our thoughts. So we just trust you. Lord, when we can't see your hand and understand your ways, we just trust your heart. We trust your word. We trust your character, that you are a good, good Heavenly Father. You are a good God, and you care about us, and you know what's happening in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to build my life on that kind of a relationship. Amen. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Thank you, Lord. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you, Lord. We live for you. Hallelujah. Holy, there. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus the name. Jesus the name above every other name. Jesus the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. None beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your.
beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Come on, help me sing it.
And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you.
That's our prayer.
Praise God.
That's our prayer, God. Lead us to those around us that are lost, that need your love, that need your light, need your help. Thank you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Holy are you, Lord. We worship you in spirit and in truth today, Lord. Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, touch us today. Touch us, Lord, today.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he.
sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy.
With all creation I sing praise to the King.
Hallelujah. Join the angels as they just declare that. Let's, as the church, join the angels of heaven and say, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Lord, we join our hearts of praise and worship unto you. Holy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Blessing, glory, and honor be unto you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, you're the living water. Thank you, Lord, you are the Prince of Peace, the rock of our salvation, the one we can build our lives on, put our trust in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood on the cross that we might be saved, that we might be changed, that we might be inhabitants of heaven one day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for families who have lost their loved ones and they went to heaven just even this week. We continue to pray for Ansel Munden and his family as Ruth is now in heaven with you. We continue to pray for the Swadley family and Enid, Lord, who said a temporary goodbye to their daughter Heidi, who's in heaven today, and then yesterday her father passed away, David. Lord, we pray for the Swadley family today, losing both a daughter and a dad in 1 week. We pray, Father God, for your peace, your strength, and your comfort, and thank you for the hope of eternal life when we will be reunited with them again in heaven and this family will be together again. Lord, as well for the Saul Frank family and the Dominey family, Lord, lost loved ones this week. We pray for your peace and your comfort. Thank you, Lord, that Shelley Tyler was able to be here today. We continue to pray for her and pray your healing touch upon her. We pray for Frances Grindstaff's mother, Lord, who has had a stroke out in Sacramento. We pray that you would just touch his mom today. Restore her health, Lord. Just minister to her right now. We pray for those who are battling COVID and under quarantine, even members of our church family. We pray for them today and others who are connected with our church family. Lord Jesus, just comfort and heal and bring help to each one of these. Father God, we continue to pray for our nation, for our leaders. We pray for a great revival in our nation. We pray, Father God, that you move by your Spirit in all of our lives. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem today, as you've told us to do. You said you would bless those who bless Israel and you would curse those who curse Israel. So, Lord, we bless the nation of Israel today. Bless your church. Fill us with your Spirit, we pray, that we might be a great source of healing and help and salvation to this lost world. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit right here in this service today. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Would you just tell Jesus you love him right now? Just look up to heaven and say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I can't even hear you. Jesus, I love you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy, your grace, and your love. Lord, we know you inhabit the praises of your people. Oh, Lord, we want to be careful to give you praise that the rocks will not have any opportunity to cry out, because we have cried out our love and our praise and our worship to you. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing that chorus one more time. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you once more. Jesus. And Lord, touch Carol today, who's not feeling well. Pray that you would heal her. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Well, Pastor Phil is going to be coming to preach the word this morning. We appreciate him and his great leadership and his love in our church family. So help me welcome him to the pulpit this morning. Amen.
You never know what I might bring up here. Everybody be staring at that the whole time going, what is he doing? We'll get there eventually. I want to say again how awesome it is to have the kids in here. And speaking of kids, Pastor, you got to be careful what you announce and how you announce things. I give you 1 week to do the announcements, and you get me in trouble. So he's over here pumping tonight's family activity night, and I think you used the word adventure. You said you should go out and have an adventure, and Elliot leans over to me and says, Bray wants to know if we can go skydiving. Now listen, maybe the movies, bowling, but we are not going skydiving. That is not happening. Pastor, you got them too pumped up. You got them too pumped up. That's all I'm saying. But it is good to have the kids in here today. Lily, you got to pay attention and listen. Jackson and Daisy, my nephew and niece are back there. And come on, Daisy, you got to wave at me. All right. If you pay attention, I got some candy in my office. Hey, I'm not above bribery. All right. And so that goes for any of the kids. If your parents will stay around long enough, I got a candy drawer and you got a piece of candy. Because it'll be worth the candy I would give to you for you to hide God's word in your heart today, all right? And so I want to share with you a message this morning entitled, The War, The War of Our Lives. The War of Our Lives. How many of you know that we are in a war? If you don't, I want to tell you today, we are in a war. We are in an absolute spiritual war in our culture, in our country, in everything that we do. And today, how many of you are Facebook friends with me? How many of you are Facebook friends with me? That's scary. You know stuff about, yeah, I know. If you're Facebook friends with me, you know that I hardly ever, if ever, talk anything about politics or anything of that nature. But today I want to share with you, because I want you to hear it not on a screen, but from my heart, what I believe the Lord would say to us about the war that we are in. And I want you to open your minds today and open your hearts. And so let's pray, and then I'm going to begin. Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you, Lord, that you create a way when a way doesn't seem possible. Lord, that you create clarity in the midst of confusion. Lord, that you allow us to minister and to be who you called us to be when it seems so difficult. Lord, when we stand up against forces, when we stand up against opposition, and Lord, it becomes so difficult to know what to do next, God, we thank you that you are there to guide and direct us. And so, Lord, today I pray that these would not be my words, but your words that would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to open up with the scripture this morning, and I have a little bit of congestion, so if I take some drinks, that's why. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 40. And they asked Jesus, they said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Now, how many of you, you like to rank in a ranking system? You're like, well, this is good, but this is better. Like, you want to know. So this is what's happening here. They're going, okay, Jesus, you've told us a lot of things, but teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? I mean, let's just get right to the top of the list. And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And I love what he says in verse 39. He says, "And the second is like it." And the second is like it. I think it's because he, even though it was second, I think Jesus wanted them to know that it's so important. And so he says, "And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And then it says, then he kind of doubles down on it when he says, "All of the law, every bit of it, and the prophets hang on these two commandments." What was Jesus saying there? What Jesus was saying to them and what he's saying to us today is this: if you can't love Jesus, if you can't love the Lord with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and you can't love your neighbor as you love yourself, because how many of you love yourself? Come on. Anybody talk in the mirror to yourself? Okay, just me. All right. Hello, pep talk, all right? If you can't do that, then all the rest is going to fall by the wayside. These are the anchors in which it says that all the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. And without them, everything falls apart. You know, our nation has a long history of conflicts and wars. World War I and World War II, Vietnam, the Gulf War, and the list goes on and on. All wars usually start with this concept, the concept of good versus evil, right versus wrong, a noble cause. See, I brought us into it today, yes? Maybe even some people believe that wars are began for a God-given directive, that they feel empowered, that this must happen. But one of the topics that's rarely ever discussed in the reality of war, the people don't like to talk about it, and officials, is the idea or the reality of friendly fire casualties. Time magazine wrote an article a few years ago, and it said that it had long been believed that friendly fire, that means that that people being killed by those on the same side, accounted for approximately 2% of deaths in World War I, World War II, and Vietnam. That's kind of always been the, give or take a little bit, always been the understood ratio of friendly fire death to death caused by the enemy. But as the article said, that as better tracking capabilities have become available, and as they began to be able to, in a more clear way, track how a death actually happened, I'm going to move this over, that they found that in the Gulf War, where they could track a little better, they found that friendly fire, Pastor, actually accounted probably for closer to 20%. And so likely, they've decided that probably it accounted for more than the 2% in all the other wars too that we always thought. It's hard to face the loss of life in war when it comes to the enemy. I don't know how many of you have been at the airport or have seen the videos of fallen soldiers coming home, and they line up and the casket comes off of the airplane. It's hard enough to face the reality of a loss of life to the enemy, but it's even more difficult to wrap our minds around the death being caused by our allies. A lot of times, and in this article it says a lot of times these They were just simple mistakes. And I'm not going to tell you every mistake that was said in the article, but I want to tell you one. There were five Special Force officers pinned down in the Gulf War, and they called in with their receiver remote a bomb strike on the enemy. And they had called it in, and in the midst of it, the Special Force gentleman who was in charge noticed that the battery was low on the receiver. And so he decided that he would change the battery for fear that the receiver would die and the plane would not know where to drop the bomb. And so he hurriedly switched the battery in the receiver. But what he didn't know was that when he did that, that when he switched the battery, that it would reset the coordinates to their location. It was a default that when you change the battery, it goes back to the current location of the receiver. And then you have to manually put in where if you want it to drop a bomb somewhere else. And after changing the battery, moments later, a 2,000-pound bomb was dropped on those five special elite forces. And in that moment, five of them dead. How many know that friendly fires, in almost every case, is never meant to happen? It's not like allies are intentionally killing other allies, and yet it happens more than we want to admit. Whether it's 2% or it's 20%, it's entirely too much. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this about our war. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Everybody say flesh and blood. Come on. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We are believers in Jesus Christ, and as the sons and daughters of the Most High, as I've already told you, we are at war. But our battle, I want you to listen to me carefully today, our battle is not against a particular political party. Our battle, our struggle is not against our coworker. Our fight is not with our family. And our enemy, the scripture says, is not even flesh and blood. Our adversary, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Do you believe that today? Our enemy, the Bible says in John 10:10, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Here's what I'm trying to tell you today. Love your enemy, fight the devil. Love your enemy, fight the devil. I want to give you this morning four strategies of war that I think that we often get wrong. Four strategies of war that we have wrong. The first one is this. We have the wrong enemy. I've already been talking about this. Unfortunately, in the church today, we have, if we're not careful, we begin killing the wrong people. Our coworker, our neighbor, our family member, our friend is not the enemy. People who disagree with us. And man, do I have some on Facebook. People who disagree with us are not the enemy, Pastor. People, listen to this. People who live in sin. The scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. People who live in active sin are still not the enemy. The devil is the enemy. The devil is the enemy. He wants to kill your coworker. He wants to kill that person you work with. They want to kill their life. He wants to ultimately kill them in their sin. He wants to destroy their family. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to steal your friends. He wants to steal their destiny. He wants to do it for an eternity. We are in a war, that's for sure. We're in a war with the devil who wants to bring confusion into our world. He is the author of confusion. You want to know where confusion comes from? That we may have humans that are men and women around the world spouting confusion, but the confusion only has one root source, and that's the devil. He wants to draw those around us into sin. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9 says, "Beloved, do not let this one thing escape your notice. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." You know, I brought that, I think Pastor has too, that rope up here before, and we've shown you that how much our life here on earth is in comparison to all of eternity. We've shown you that the tip of the rope is signifies what we'll live here on earth, but that all the rest of this rope, we've strung it all the way across the church before, and we've said that's all of eternity. You need to understand that in eternity, time doesn't work the same way. A day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day, because tomorrow's going to happen, the next day is going to happen, the next day is going to happen, because it's eternity. But here on earth, we start measuring things, right? And so it says, I love what it says. It says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness." See, we think, well, Lord, when are you going to come through? My loved one's sick. When are they going to be healed? My children are lost and don't know Jesus. They don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, when's the Holy Spirit going to come and convict them? In our time and realm, we think he's slow, but the Bible says he's never slow in keeping his promise. Here's what it says. He's not slow in keeping his promise, but is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I want to break that down for a minute. The scripture says that Jesus doesn't want anyone to perish. I want to be a little transparent with you today. I've really been having to evolve myself in my prayer life and ask change, change my prayers from, "Lord, make this person believe this way. Make this person agree with me. Make this," you know what I'm talking about? And instead say, "Lord, reveal yourself to this person. Lord, build a relationship with this person. May this person come to know you in a deeper way." Have you know that Jesus changes lives? Jesus changes lives. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Anyone, the word anyone, does that include the Baptist? Thank you for laughing. When I wrote that, I envisioned you would laugh. Thank you. Yes. Does it include Catholics? Does it include Mormons? Does it include the Church of God? Does anyone, Pastor, include people who aren't currently attending church? Jesus isn't dragging his feet. He's just being patient so that others would come to him. We've all done that, haven't we? You ever been in the store with your kids? You say, "Listen, I'm going to give you one more warning. One more warning. I'm going to count to three. Okay. One, two, two and a quarter, two and a half," right? I visualize God the Father up in heaven, go, "Come on. I'm coming soon. No one knows the day or the hour." 2 7/8. Come on, Steve Lance. No, I'm just teasing. Be nicer to Pastor Phil. Anyone includes anyone. The person who you want to just, you just want to get them off of the social media. You can't have a conversation with them. You're praying they're not going to come to the family reunion. Lord, you know you prayed it, all right? Jesus already knows you prayed about that person. That person too, does anyone include pro-life and pro-choice people? So that means that does anyone include Democrats and Republicans? Does that mean that Jesus doesn't want either President Biden or President Trump to perish? That's what he means. The answer is yes. And then he says, "But everyone come to repentance." And this is the part that's so important, is to what? to what? Come to what? Not come to agree with us, not come to align with us, not come to wear the same or shirt or as we do, or the hat we do, or put the same thing on our profile picture, or sign the same petition we want to sign, or whatever it is. It just says he wants them to come to repentance. I may just be preaching to myself today. I had to stop 3 times during this message. I was like, Lord, I repent. I repent. Jesus. Maybe I wasn't supposed to, maybe I was just supposed to preach this to myself. Here's what the truth is that Jesus came, the scripture says, to seek and to save the lost. That we may have life and have it more abundantly. Here's what I would tell you. People are not the enemy we're fighting against. They're the souls we're fighting for. Can I say that again? People are not the enemy we're fighting against. The devil is. They are the souls we are fighting for. I am willing. I've been praying to the Lord and saying, Lord, let me be willing to be uncomfortable so that somebody may receive Jesus. May I have the uncomfortable conversations. May I be stretched in my thinking. May I be torn in my heart. May I weep tears, not because they won't agree with me, but because they haven't become reconciled with Jesus. We have the wrong enemy sometimes. The second thing is we have the wrong weapon. The wrong weapon. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4 says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does." Oh my goodness, that's good. "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Let me give you a list of what I think are worldly weapons. You ready for this? Aggression, violence, solutions found only in politics, using our talent, using our wealth, using our human ingenuity. All of those are inadequate to pull down the strongholds of Satan. But divine weapons, you ready for this? These are the weapons in which I think we should be picking up in the war that God has us battling today. Here it is, you ready? The blood of Jesus. What? Remember the song? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The authority of Jesus' name. It says every knee shall bow, right? At the name of Jesus. The enemy has to flee. Come on. Come on. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. I firmly believe that, and I'll pick on myself, if I would allow the Holy Spirit to work in me more than he already does, I probably would say less. The power of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts in which he gives us. The Word of God. Prayer. What's the difference between the two groups? What's the difference between the first group of weapons I mentioned and the second? You ready for it? The difference is the first group is all man-made. Aggression, violence, political solutions, talent, wealth, human ingenuity. That's all coming out of man. The other is all God created. When we engage the enemy, I know what weapons I want in my hand. I need you to understand today what I'm about to say. I've been praying that you would receive it in love because I'm speaking to myself too, okay? And I want us to, if we come into this place, may we always come in here willing to allow the Lord to challenge what we do. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm speaking social media. Social media needs to be a lot less opinion pieces and venting sessions and a whole lot more scripture and God-driven fruits of the Spirit. When love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control are allowed to work, when those things are allowed to work through us, watch out. Mountains start to move. hearts begin to melt, sin starts disappearing, salvation starts happening, and souls are rescued. I don't care about being right. I just want people reconciled to Jesus. I just want people to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. They can have this whole world for all I care. It's going to waste away soon anyway. I'm not dying on a mountain that's going away soon anyway. But I will give everything I got for souls that will last eternity. This battle for God's creation was declared on the cross. Listen to me, this battle for God's creation was declared on the cross when Jesus died for our sins so that we no longer would be separated from him. And it's the only place we should go to get the weapons to continue to fight it. So we got to get the right enemy and we got to get the right weapon. The third strategy that we often get wrong is the wrong food. They say in the Civil War, if you listen to historians, they say the Civil War, it wasn't just about strategy that caused the South to lose. The part that caused them to lose was the lack of resources. Many of the South, how many of you read about the Civil War? Many of the South starved to death. They never made it to the battle. They didn't have adequate clothing. They froze, and they didn't have the adequate food. How many of you know that if you're going to fight a battle, you better be fed in the right way? You better have the right food. How many of you during fasting got a little hungry? Come on. Come on, anybody? Anybody get, you know, that flesh start to rise up? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when I fast, I get hungry. And when I'm fasting, there is no more time in my life, Pastor, I'm confessing to you today, that I talk about food. It's the weirdest thing. You shouldn't think about food, but I talk about it the whole time. For 21 days, it's a 21-day time with Jesus and a planning session of what I'm going to eat in 21 days. And objects and things around me oftentimes remind me of food. I'm like, oh, look at that. We were at the mall, and it was probably, we were 2 weeks in, and Elliot and Braylon and I were at the mall, and we're persevering through, we got this. And we walked by Bath and Body Works, and they had a strawberry cake candy. Get thee behind me, Satan, all right? They had lit this strawberry cake candy, candle, and this thing was just, it smelled like a fresh bakery was happening. And I thought, oh, this is not good. This is not good. I can't get away from it. I got to go back by here to get to my car, right? You would have thought I'd ran, but that's not what we did we, boys? No, we went in there. We went in there. We searched the candle out. We just stood over that candle. I said, you got to smell this. You got to smell this. We were in the moment. We are not acknowledging anybody else in the store. We're just enjoying this beautiful strawberry cake candle. I was debating in my mind, could I eat that? That's not really food. We're certainly purchasing one. I said that. I said, we're getting one of these. We're getting one of these. It's about that moment I looked up, and there's just the Bath and Body Works lady is just looking at us. Like, what are y'all doing? And I was like, we're on a fast. I don't know if you know what that is. Went through a thing. We're really kind of hungry right now. And is it okay if we smell? No, go for it. I said, okay. This is really good. So we had a moment there, and I'm being a little silly, but it becomes sometimes when you're hungry, it's more than you can handle. There's something about starvation, you know, or at least lack of what you want to eat that does something to you. And so in Matthew chapter 4, we find that Jesus is fasting. He's out in the desert, and the devil's trying to tempt him. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it says, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, although I think I could try it, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I am for sure that Jesus was hungry, all right? I'm sure that he wouldn't have done that in Bath and Body Works, but I'm sure he was hungry. And I'm convinced that bread had to have sounded awesome. You know what I mean? But Jesus understood that's not what he needed in that particular moment. He didn't need bread. He needed time with the Father. He needed to fast. He needed to prepare. He didn't need bread, even though he was hungry. Because here's what Jesus understood that we ourselves need to understand, was that he was not just in a physical battle of hunger, but was in a spiritual battle with Satan. If you look at this account in the desert, Jesus over and over again uses scripture to defend and ultimately defeat the devil. Every time he would throw yourself off, Jesus will use scripture. Turn this stone into bread, Jesus used scripture. Have you ever eaten the wrong food and reaped the consequences for it? Come on now. Here's what I find. And I want to tell you that before I say this, I'm really sad about it, okay? I find that if I eat fruits and vegetables, I lose weight. And I have this overwhelming urge to run. I don't know why. It's like I'm lighter. I'm sleeker. I don't know what it is. I'm like, I'm going to go run. The other day, I was in the fast, and I thought, I'm going to take off and run. I hadn't run in months, okay? Let me just tell you that, okay? I'm also not telling you that what I'm about to say is smart. I'm just telling you. I thought, I'm going to go run. So I took off out my door, and my parents live back behind Walmart up here on Cedar Lane. I live in Savannah Hills, which is on the south side of Noble. And I thought to myself all of a sudden, I wonder how far it is to my parents' apartment. I'm not kidding. When I lose weight, I just love to run. It's 4.2 miles, by the way, in case you were wondering. 4.2 miles and not near enough oxygen along the way. So, but when I eat fruits and vegetables, I lose weight and I have this overwhelming urge to run. When I eat cake and ice cream, come on, amen, I get fat and I get stuck on the couch. My back hurts, my hip hurts. I go out there to run, and instead of having the thought of, hey, I wonder how far it is to my parents' house, I think to myself, I wonder if there's a way I could cut across on this circle, this little circle. Is there a way I could cut through some backyards? Maybe skip over pastor's fence on the way back so I don't have to run the whole circle. By the way, the circle is only half a mile. I'd also like to say no comments on my current condition because you know what I've been eating lately, okay? We must be careful what we feed ourselves. Are you with me today? We got to be careful what we feed ourselves. I'm talking about ice cream and fruits and vegetables, but what I'm really talking today is that our flesh desires to consume unhealthy things. And beyond ice cream and cake and all of that, our flesh desires to consume unhealthy things such as gossip and bitterness and anger and unforgiveness and self-loathing. It honestly, left alone without God's guidance and help, it can't get enough of it. And we find ourselves stuck on the couch spiritually. We consume this stuff and we get so full of this stuff, bitterness and anger and unforgiveness and whatever, that what happens is we're wanting to do something for God, but we're so unable because we're so unhealthy. I got a little illustration today. Thank you, Elena Hunt, for helping me. I called her and said, would you build this for me? I don't know if you can see this, but this flower right here is a pretty good size little bush, little plant or whatever, but the pot that it's in is entirely too small. Matter of fact, if I don't turn it around, you can't even really see the pot. You know what I mean? But here it is. It's trying to grow. It's trying to do the best it can. I'm going to put this out here so you can see it. All right. All right. I may pick it up again in a minute. Elena, I think I'm correct in saying that eventually that plant's not going to do very well, right? Yeah. She just gave me this symbol. It's going to die. Here's the reason. It can't get roots down. It doesn't have enough to support it underneath. It's trying to grow, and on the outside, if you don't see what it's planted into, you look at it and go, "Hey, this is doing pretty good. Look at it. It's spreading out. It looks good." Let me ask you something. Have we ever been immersing ourselves in things or planting ourselves in things that are too small for God's vision for us? Have you ever filled your life or anchored your life to men and women's opinions, to the circumstances in our world, to all those things in a way that we immerse ourselves and we anchor ourselves to something that's too small to ever support the vision God has for our lives? Unfortunately, there's too many people in the church today who want to grow big in what God has for them. They want to be a valuable person in the war, but they don't have anything to anchor themselves in a way. And eventually, in the pursuit of doing what's right, because they've immersed themselves in so much wrong, they just die. They just die. If there's not enough food or water to feed the vision of the battle, death is inevitable. We must, as we do as God's asked us to do, to fight for souls, we must feed our spirit and our lives what comes from the heart of God and not from the mouths of men. Amen? Amen. All right, I just want to make sure you're with me today. And lastly, you got the wrong enemy, you get the wrong weapon, you get the wrong food. Last one is sometimes we use the wrong currency. Currency, in its name, is the reason why it's called currency is because currency is having the ability to flow from one place to another. Talk about electric current, all right? All right? It's having the ability to flow from one place to another. So I could take a $100 bill, come on now, $100 bill, and I could spend it here in Noble. I could spend it to the Sonic and get, we all go get some, what's those things we like to get? Those cream slush? Come on now. And how many of you guys ever had a cream slush? Come on. See, everybody that raised their hand, they were smiling. Mm-hmm. Because they're living the good life. All right. We could go down here and spend it, or I could go to Branson. We're gonna take off for a couple of days later on this week, just for the weekend, and we're gonna go to Branson. And I could spend it there. I could spend it on a show, or I could spend it on a zip line. I don't think they got skydiving, but I could spend it there. And you know what? They'll take my $100 bill. It'll travel from Noble to. Hey, you know, I go to Disney World. I could travel to Disney World, and Lily, I could go spend the money on Lily. We could go to the Bippity Bop Boutique. We talk about that all the time. And we're going to go there one of these days, aren't we, Lily? Yeah, well, I'm not going to wear a dress, just you. Okay, so, but you could take $100 and you could take it just about anywhere you want to go. And all three places would recognize the value of the bill. Let's bring it down a little closer. Even if I just had $1 bills, I have the value, the ability to add value to anyone I come in contact with. Yep, I can just walk over here and I say, "Pastor, you're a dollar. You're worth a dollar more than you were a second ago." Right, right. Look at all these teenagers. Look at them. All right, Avery. Avery, yeah. Avery's worth a dollar more than she was a second ago. You already have all my money. All right. Glenda Humphrey tells me how much she loves me, so she gets a dollar today, all right? Glenda, you're worth a dollar more than you were just a second ago. Elena, for all that work, you're worth a dollar more than you were a second ago. A dollar more, because you laughed at my joke a second ago. I saw it. Thank you. All right. You're worth a dollar more. So five people now, I have, just by simply having a dollar, have increased their value. Just hand you a dollar. You're welcome, Pastor. Put a few more dollars with it and get some of that spray stuff. Or a jar of chrome wax. Either one. Okay. I'm going to get it later. All right. Yet, listen very carefully. You can hand out dollars. You can add value. But yet, money is not the currency that will help us to victory in the spiritual battle we're in. See, that's the problem is. That's the world's solution to everything. If it's not working, just throw money at it. You don't like us? Who wants some stimulus money? Is that too much? Sorry. I will be receiving it, though. Okay. All right. That's fine. I didn't say it was bad. I'm just saying it's not the ultimate solution. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. We can't pay the devil off to give up. I don't care how much money. The richest guy in the world. Who is that right now? Who's that guy you told me is the richest guy now? Elon Musk. Elon Musk. Who I want to be best friends with. Richest guy in the world now. He's worth a gazillion or something dollars. Cannot pay the devil off. The devil has one mission. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. You ready for this? And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The English Standard Version says it this way. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable. Profitable. Isn't that what we're really wanting? We're wanting a profit. The gospel is the greatest currency ever created because it adds value to anyone it comes in contact with, and it flows through any place, any language, any time. You know how I know that? Because we have a wall. We have a wall out there of missionaries, right? We have a wall of missionaries who are all over the world in different countries speaking different languages, right? Presenting the gospel. Because see, the truth is, I could take that $100 and in some countries they go, well, no, that's not the right money. But the gospel translates. If we want to change the world around us, we don't start with money, we start with the gospel. The gospel is God breathed. You want victory in your life and all that God has called you to do, let him breathe over it. Let God speak over it. I'm going to ask the musicians to come as I close today. Man, we are at war. We're at war for souls. I desperately desire. I've been asking the Lord to remind me not to spend so much time asking for stuff, but pleading for souls. Most of us in this room, we're so blessed with so many things. We have a roof over our head. We have food to eat. We have a car to drive. We have a job or we have a retirement or whatever. And although we may not be rich, we're taken care of. It doesn't mean we don't want things, but I've just been asking the Lord, let the thing I want the most be that the world would come to know you. That the people that I call my family, the people I go to church with, that their family would come to know Jesus. We've been doing a lot of funerals lately, haven't we, Pastor? We've been doing a lot of funerals lately. We've been having, and the sad part about that is that you know that someone's gone into eternity. You're praying. Many of them, we don't know where they were with the Lord. We're praying that they're right with the Lord. But the good part about it is we've been given so many opportunities to present the gospel to people. To present the gospel to people. I want to challenge you with this thought. If everyone we talk to thinks like us, looks like us, talks like us. We've limited ourselves. I challenge you to talk to people who don't think like you, who don't look like you, who don't talk like you. We must transition from a tribal vision, it means I just want to reach people like me, to a global vision, I just want to reach people, period. All have sinned, all are hated by Satan, but all can be redeemed. Friends, the war we are in is for real, and we need to pray, not my will, but thy will be done. With the understanding that the right enemy is Satan, that the right weapons are the wisdom of God, the blood of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit, the right food is God's word, and the right currency is the gospel. If we can get that right, if we can get those things right, I'm challenging you today that we will come out victorious. Ears will open, hearts will soften, lives will be redeemed, and souls will be saved. And so I declare today, as I pray over you, that in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan is defeated. You agree with me today? Let's just say that. Say, in the name of Jesus, Satan is defeated. Lord, I pray for every person in this place today. I pray, Lord, that we would just have a deep desire to see souls saved, that we would see people turn to you. Lord, that we would not depend on the words of men, but the breath of God. And Lord, may you speak the truth today, and may the truth set people free. And Lord, we thank you today that you would challenge our heart, challenge our ways, challenge our motives, and may they be pure, that it not be my will be done, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Worship team's going to sing. I'd like to challenge you. We've got some time here. It's 10 till noon. Would you just find a place either at your seat around the altars and just begin to allow the Lord to soften your heart to souls that need to be saved. May we get back into the fight that God intended us to be, which was fighting for the souls of mankind. Would you find a place at the altar? Let's pray.
Enough. I need your anointing. Come in. Captivating my soul, and every day I grow to love you more. Come, Holy Spirit, fall on me now. I need your anointing, come in your power. Spirit, you're captivating my soul, and every day I grow to love you more. I'm reaching for your heart, you hold my life in your hands, drawing me closer to you. I feel your power. Spirit and in truth, come, Holy Spirit, fall on me now. I need your anointing, come in your power. I love you, Holy Spirit, you're captivating my soul, and every day I grow. spirit and in truth. I'm reaching for your heart. You hold my life in your hands, drawing me closer to you. I feel your power renew. Nothing compares to this place where I can see you face to face. I worship you in spirit and in truth. I'm reaching for your heart. You hold my life in your hands, drawing me closer to you. I feel your power renew. Nothing compares to this place where I can see you face to face. I worship you in spirit and in truth. Nothing compares to this place where I can see you face to face. I worship you in spirit and in truth. I worship you in spirit and in truth. I worship you in spirit and in
who's ready to fight for souls? Come on. Who thinks it's worth it to fight for those who maybe can't fight for themselves right now? The enemy is real. Satan, he's a liar. Deception is real. But as the scripture says, we know the truth and the truth shall set us free, right? I'm praying for that, for our neighbors, for our co-workers, for those who they need a relationship with Jesus. May the Holy Spirit just so impact their life that they would turn to Him. Amen. Bow your heads with me, Lord. I pray right now, once again, for every person in this place. I pray, Lord, right now that you begin to put people in our hearts specifically, but also, Lord, in a general way, begin for us to pray for those that are in our schools, those that are in our businesses, those that are in our government, those that are in our families, friend circles, people. Lord, quicken our spirits even as we pass people in the store or the post office, whoever it may be. Lord, I believe that you can send the Holy Spirit to impress upon us to pray specific needs for people we don't even know. And Lord, I believe that if we're faithful to do that and allow you to breathe over it, Lord, we will claim victory because there's victory in you. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go do something with your family tonight. Skydiving? No. All right. Amen.